It's 12:30, and this is KPTZ in Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. This is County Connections, and I'm here with Kate Dean, and we have a special guest, and we're going to see if all our microphones work in a second here. Hi, Kate. How are you?
Hi, Jim. I'm great. What a beautiful Friday.
It is. It's wonderful here. I don't know when the other shoe is going to drop, when it's going to start raining again. I just hope never. But I can live with this. This is fine. So who do we have joining us here today, Kate?
I am very pleased to have our guest today be Wendy Bart, who is the CEO of the Olympic Peninsula YMCA. Welcome, Wendy.
Jim, don't be throwing rain out into the universe.
Oh, okay. So. All right. Okay. Rain is good? Is that what you're saying?
It's good, just not now. We don't need any more for a bit.
That's fine. So I'm going to have you to repeat all you just said while I fumbled with the controls here.
That's okay. I'm just happy to be here, happy to be chatting with both of you about some of the exciting things going on.
And what is the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is what we're doing around childcare. So it's such a huge need in our community. And I know I've talked a lot about, even before COVID, Jefferson County was considered a childcare desert. Mm-hmm. And when COVID hit, we lost 25% of our providers. And so It just took a problem that was really challenging and made things even worse. And so what I'm really excited about is just the community partners that have come together, many of whom have been working to solve this problem for quite some time, including Jefferson Healthcare. But just we've been coming together to try to figure out how to solve this problem, how to support our working families. And also, you know, one of the things that I think really came out of COVID, people became aware of how critical childcare is to the fabric of our community, to the economy. And there really isn't any economic recovery for our community without having available childcare. So I'm here to talk about that.
That's perfect. Kate, what is she talking about specifically? It's in Port Townsend. It's on the high school property. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, I just want to acknowledge that it was almost a year ago that I was here with you, Jim, and we had Dunya Pho from Jefferson Healthcare talking about the need for childcare and the assessment that Jefferson Healthcare had just completed with some state funding, which identified an enormous need for childcare that back then, a year or two ago, we had enough childcare spots for about 20% of the need in this community. So only 1 in 5 kids being served, and much less, only 14% of infants being served. So enormous need. A year ago, we were saying it would be great if we could do something about this. And really proud to say that since then, we have raised $2.7 million of largely state and federal funds and have a lease signed at the Port Townsend High School to build a new childcare facility. So very exciting. You know, it's not often in government that we can say in a year's time that we went from identifying a need to actually having the funds in hand and starting to think about putting in permit applications.
Right. And have you broken ground over there, or is there a golden shovel moment coming up?
Not yet, but I'm sure there will be. You know, a good chunk of this funding came from Senator Murray, and her office keeps calling and saying, when is the groundbreaking?
Okay, so she's going to be here.
She will be. Yeah, she would really like to be anyway. But so currently, we're still in the design process, and we want that to be really inclusive. So Simon Little, our designer, is working with a number of organizations and families who are really interested in making this facility work for them and for kids of all abilities. Right. And then also the YMCA, and they've expanded the scope of the project a little bit, which maybe I'll have Wendy talk about.
Yeah. So Wendy, tell us about the project. I've read about this and I think I've even reported on it somewhat. So it's more than just childcare going on at this childcare center that's going to be on the high school property that I guess the YMCA of Olympic Peninsula is going to run.
Yes, that's right. So one of the things that we thought we would do is not just address the childcare need, but also focus on a couple of other things that really are in support of our families. Mm-hmm. And so this will be considered an early learning and family support center. So the early learning childcare facility will support 42 little ones from 0 to 5. We will also, as part of the facility, have a commercial kitchen, a commercially rated kitchen that will support the childcare, but also will enable us to operate our meals program out of that kitchen. Uh-huh. So one of the things that, again, so many things came out of COVID, but one of the things that that we really started to focus on is supporting families who are dependent on school meals to help take care of their children and meet their need for food security. But when school's not in session, there's a huge gap. Right. And so we have taken on, the Y's taken on providing food and meal support during spring break, over the summer, and then also during the December holiday break. And we end up we've supported about 135 families all throughout East Jefferson County. And we provide food and meals every week. And it's a huge undertaking to pull together all the food and all the prep and packing and everything like that. And we've really been limited with the kitchen space we currently have at our Mountain View campus. We've relied on borrowing kitchens from the school districts. And it's just, this will give us an opportunity to have a dedicated kitchen that we can use mm-hmm. on a regular basis, and also work on focusing on supporting families above and beyond when school's not in session, because we know families out there are really struggling in terms of food insecurity, nutrition insecurity. So that's one additional element to this facility. The other is, again, came out of COVID, this concept of having a family resource navigator, a hub, a person where families in Jefferson County could turn to get connected to all of the support services, all of the resources in our community. There are so many. I think there's 240 nonprofit organizations in Jefferson County that have a myriad of services and resources available to families, but there's no one place you can go to get to figure out where to turn for all of your needs. So out of COVID, and thanks to Jefferson County, we received funding to create a role, a family resource navigator, who is that go-to person if a family needs help finding clothing or food or childcare or housing. There's one place they can go. They can go to the WISE Family Resource Navigator and get connected to services. And out of that work, we really realized how important it is. And we've expanded. We have a whole team of family resource navigators now.
Wow.
But we need space for them, and we need a place for families to go. So we will add office space and meeting space for families at this new facility. Mm-hmm. And also house our diaper bank that we that we support in partnership with First Step Family Support Center and Clothing Bank, et cetera. There's just so many things that we can do, and we're really excited about the synergy that's going to happen with this new facility. So we'll be doing childcare, meals, and family resource parenting support.
Is there, so that brings up a question for me. Can people access the family resource person now through the YMCA?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. They can go to our website, which is OlympicPeninsulaYMCA.org. There is a page dedicated to Family Resource Navigator. They can also reach out directly to our Family Resource Department. I'll have to get that phone number for
That's
you.
That's fine.
But yes, absolutely. And Tanya and her team can help connect families. Again, what we've learned out of COVID is families who might come to us with one need, for example, a need for food, they usually have a myriad of other needs, 2, 3, 4, 5 needs. And it's so nice to be able to connect them to other support services that are available in the community that they might not be aware of, or they just don't necessarily know where to turn. The other thing is that families who are experiencing stressors, sometimes it's overwhelming to try to navigate and on your own and figure out where you can get help. So this is just, it's been a great thing where we can walk with families and, you know, help to advocate on their behalf to get them the resources and support they need.
Well, it's good that they have allies in the YMCA for that. And I just want to mention to our listeners, yeah, I'm on TV now, our viewers, our listeners at KPTZ, that they can write to us at DJ@kptz.org if you have a question for either Wendy or Kate here today. Kate Dean, my co-host from the County Commission. I'm Jim Burke, and this is Community Connections. And we want to hear from you if you have questions for anybody about these things. And if we can't answer them on the air, we can probably get you connected with somebody who can answer them later. So please write in. Let us know you're out there. Kate, what else do we want to talk about in terms of this this center, this child care center? I also had one other question, and that was I understand that the number of slots that are going to be available here are still going to fall way short of the number of slots for child care that are needed in Jefferson County. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So adding 42 will make a dent in the need that we have here.
Right.
And some of those will be available for very low-income people and will be subsidized. Mm-hmm. That's one of the challenges with providing child care is
sure.
that it's either really expensive or the wages are really low.
Uh-huh.
And so trying to make the business model work is really tricky. Speaking of Senator Murray, you know, she is the first to say that we know that childcare doesn't pay for itself, and we really need help for a lot of working families to be able to make that pencil. So we're lucky in our business model. We do have a number of slots set aside for folks who need that subsidy. We right. know there's going to be more need. One question that comes up a lot when we talk about this project is, why in Port Townsend? And, you know, we know that there are families all over the county with
right.
this need. But having done quite a few interviews with the major employers within the county, it became clear that most folks are driving into Port Townsend to work. People who work kind of general 9-to-5 jobs, most of those
yeah.
are within the city limits. So
right.
had to pick a location. We actually surveyed a number of different locations, and the high school turned out to be the most central. We needed it
right.
to be available for a very affordable cost, which
right.
the school district has provided a very affordable lease. So
yeah.
After surveying, it seemed like that really was the best location.
And as we know, once you get into Port Townsend, it's 10 minutes to drive anywhere else. So you drop your kids off and you could still be to work on time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So you've mentioned funding. So some of it comes from the United States government. Some of it comes from the state. Is the county chipping in? Is the hospital chipping in? Is the YMCA chipping in as well?
Yeah, so the county dedicated $290,000 from our ARPA funds.
Mm-hmm.
So those are federal dollars.
Right.
We also, the county secured the appropriation from Senator Murray for $1.375 million.
Wow.
The hospital applied for a grant through the State Department of Commerce for $1 million. They also provided $50,000 in cash. Jefferson Healthcare did.
Fantastic.
And then we're applying to a couple of other sources. One is federal dollars that come through the state and what's called community development block grants.
Right.
We're just in the application process for that. So a real mix. You know, this is a very challenging time to build.
Mm-hmm.
The costs are going up as we speak, and that's really challenging to come up with a firm price and
right.
A firm cost and be able to raise the funds appropriately. So we're really trying to take advantage of the opportunity with so many federal dollars flowing right now to
mm-hmm.
be able to get the funding and, you know, take advantage of this time to build a center that will have a number of functions like Wendy described.
Fantastic. Wendy, anything else?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sure
I just wanted to add to what Kate was talking about in terms of the need. There's this really wonderful interactive map that you can access through the Department of Children, Youth, and Families website, dcyf.wa.gov.
Wow.
And you can actually drill down and look very specifically into Jefferson County to see what the need is. And they just updated their map that shows the need for childcare compared to the availability. And just in 1 year's time, Kate had mentioned that we meet 20% of the need. That was 2022 data. We're now we're meeting 13%
oh,
of
no.
the need. So it's getting harder.
Right,
it's getting more challenging for families. And adding 42 spots is a 38% increase in the number of spots in Jefferson County.
Wow.
So it's crazy. We have 111 spots for childcare in Jefferson County, and the estimated need is just shy of 900. Whoa. So it's a huge impact. It's a really significant impact. So it is what I love about this community is people coming together, and we are working really hard to solve this problem. But this is a drop in the bucket. It's just making a dent, but a really important dent. But we'll need to continue to work to meet the needs for our working families. It's a huge issue.
So that's, yeah, that also brings to mind, I mean, because I've read this before, I know this, but maybe you can talk about it more intelligently than I can, either you or Kate. I know that when kids who are preschool aged get support, like meals, yeah, like childcare, et cetera, and their families do, that it helps their families to earn more, to do more in the community, and it also helps the kids learn better when they get to school and thrive and grow, yeah, and eventually go on to, you know, better lives,
yeah,
than if they don't have this kind of resource. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. There was a longitudinal study called the Absidarian Project that actually evaluated the impacts on participating in a quality early childhood education program. And the impacts for children, not only does it enable them to be ready for kindergarten, which is a significant issue. More than half of our kids are entering kindergarten not ready to be in, wow, kindergarten, and that affects their entire educational career. But being in a quality early childhood education program also affects health outcomes, believe it or not.
No.
It affects risk factors. Kids, right, that participate in a quality early childhood program are less likely to get involved in drugs, and they, in early adulthood, less chronic disease issues in their 30s and 40s, less high blood pressure. So it's amazing the investment in this early point in life, mm-hmm, and what that does over the course of time. I've seen studies that say the return on investment is anywhere from, for every dollar invested, there's a $7 return. I've seen it as, wow, high as 16. Wow. So it this early time is really critical. And also 90% of brain development happens from 0 to 5. So, right, if we can do everything we can to help kids thrive in that early time, early window, it just has a cascading effect, a ripple, yeah, effect that is really amazing.
It's incalculable, so, in a very real sense. It also brings to mind socialization, that there's so many ways in which, yeah, kids of all ages these days are shut out, mm-hmm, are bullied, are feeling less than because they're on social media as they grow up and all, yeah, this stuff. And I imagine that anybody who learns to interact with people and to be a good, friendly, helpful person around the people around them, whether they're 3 or whether, yeah, they're 30 or, you know,
yes,
60, that can help the community at large and also prevent a lot of those problems that you mentioned.
Yeah, and I would say that applies to families, too,
yeah,
you know, in this community. Yeah. And, you know, I have older teenagers now, but, you know, it's easy to feel like there are very few amenities for the working families we have. And,
yeah,
you know, probably many of our listeners read the Seattle Times article this weekend or earlier this week talking about Jefferson County not only being the oldest county in the state, but,
right,
growing by leaps and bounds as the oldest county in,
you're
the,
right,
state.
Our median age is gone
over
above 60 now.
Yep. And so, you know, just the importance of providing amenities to working families here so that we don't continue to lose them to communities that do have amenities. Mm-hmm. You know, we're, mm-hmm, not talking about anything fancy here. We're talking about basic childcare, a, yeah, thing that most communities of,
right,
our size have.
Housing, childcare, all these things that we've been talking, mm-hmm, about for, yeah, years now, make a difference in terms of whether or not people can stay and thrive here in Jefferson County.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's all good. See, we have about 5 minutes left. You can still write in to dj@kptz.org if you have a question for Wendy Bart or for Kate Dean about childcare on the Olympic Peninsula, specifically in Jefferson County and in Port Townsend. Kate, what else?
I think it'd be interesting to talk about workforce because,
yes,
and specifically the workforce for the childcare sector, which is really challenging. According to the Census Bureau, the employment within childcare has still not recovered since the pre-pandemic pre-pandemic levels.
Right.
And so I want to applaud Wendy and the YMCA for actively seeking out relationships with Peninsula College to try to address the shortage that we have. So, Wendy, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is one thing to create the spots. It's another to staff them. And I think one of the things that's been really unfortunate about childcare is that people consider childcare really glorified babysitting, and it is so far from that. And especially as a state licensed facility, I don't think people are aware at all of what the requirements and expectations are in terms of educational background for staff, the quality of the program itself. It really is it's a partner to education. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the issues is we don't hold up our childcare professionals the same way we might hold up our teachers or other really critical, essential frontline workers. But I think, again, I go back to, if there is anything that really happened out of COVID was this acknowledgement of how incredibly important childcare is to every other fabric of our community. Right. And one hope that I have is that people really do acknowledge the value and the quality and what it means to have someone in the childcare profession. It really is one. It's a worthy profession. It's really an incredible opportunity we have to engage with children, but it's so important. And I would love for our community to lift up our childcare professionals. So grateful to Jefferson County for having acknowledged childcare Provider Appreciation Day on July 12th or mm-hmm. May 12th. Uh-huh. But I think we need to do more of that. And then also we are going to have to create our own pipeline, our own workforce development in terms of childcare. And so Peninsula College has been a great partner. They have a wonderful early childhood education program. So we're going to start at the high school level recruiting students who are interested in a career in childcare, a career in education, and get them connected to Peninsula College and do everything we can to kind of remove any barriers to getting involved and getting participating in that program so that we can grow our own. But workforce is a huge issue.
No kidding.
So, I just want to echo what Kate said in the very beginning, the business model for childcare can be challenging, and it's difficult to provide a thriving wage and at the same time keep childcare affordable for families. So we want it to be affordable for families, and at the same time we want to be providing thriving wages, and there is a cost to providing a high quality program.
Right,
licensing
right.
standards have ratios that are in effect, and it's a difficult, complex business model.
Right. And I can't
I think is also why providers are getting out of the business, and we can't lose anybody else.
I can't even
else.
Imagine. I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but I can't even imagine, because we only have like a minute and 10 seconds, but I can't even imagine what any parent went through who suddenly had to work from home and then had to do childcare at home while their kids were supposed to be like on their computers attending school remotely. I mean, did you have to go through that,
Kate? I did, yeah, but I mean, I was the lucky one that could work at home.
Yeah.
And we know that women were affected more by
absolutely
by lockdown, service sector jobs disproportionately filled with women. And so many, lost their job or had to decide to go to a job that where mm-hmm. they might be exposed to illness, that they might bring it home and what to do with kids. And it was a terrible, terrible decisions.
Yeah. So coming out of that, it's a great positive story that this is happening. What's the timeline very quickly? When is it going to happen? When does groundbreaking occur? When does it get finished? And when do people actually get to bring their kids to this place?
Well, I will tell you, we're working as quickly as we can, but I would anticipate breaking ground early next year, early in 2024, and then being open the first quarter of 2025.
Fantastic.
So we are working as quickly as we can, but It will likely be the beginning of 2025. I will also just add in, we will be opening a childcare facility as part of the Seventh Haven project with OLECAP.
Oh, right.
That will be two classrooms, 33 slots for preschool age, primarily preschool age. Super. But that will be coming online at the latest early 2024. So.
Well, I'm afraid I have to say goodbye. We have another show coming on in 5 minutes. Thanks, Wendy Bart, for being with me and Kate. Wendy Bart, CEO of the Olympic Peninsula YMCA, thank you so much. Kate Dean, thank you for being my co-host today. I wish we had more time to talk about this, of course.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, folks, on Community Connections. This is Jim Burke, and this is KPTZ in Port Townsend.